Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast Park Fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans, and we're here every week talking about things in the theme park world. I'm Bex, and Kip Hakes is here.
Hello!
Kip Hakes off of the internet.
Yes, the very one indeed. The one and only. I'm like Chesley Hawks, but I don't have a thing on my face.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that to go there. My fellow Christmas tree, if you are new to the podcast, you may not know that myself and Kip are going to be talking Christmas trees this year.
Yes, we are.
If you are anywhere near Spalding, you're in luck. Is luck the right word?
Luck is absolutely the right word, Bex. Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be tremendous.
Yeah, for some reason, we've been picked to be talking Christmas trees. There was a male role and a female role, and you desperately wanted to do the female role, which you took to the extreme with adding the Northern accent in as well. So
yeah, exactly. And I was worried how you were going to end that sentence. I'm glad you said role.
But that's going to be opening very soon, the Christmas lights trail at Springfield's Outlet, which is like a shopping outlet in Spalding. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've seen a short clip, and it's hilarious.
It is, isn't it?
It's like all my dreams come true. But we've got a couple of weeks to wait for that. I'm sure we'll post some clips so that you can keep up to date, because why wouldn't you want to? But for today's episode, no surprises here. Kip's here. We're talking about Merlin, and it's probably not going to go that well, to be honest. It's probably there might be some bleeps I have to edit into this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
There usually is when you're around. But we have to do this episode. Now, this came out a couple of weeks ago, and I've been wanting to talk about it since. Fiona Eastwood, who is the current Merlin CEO, did an interview with the BBC, and she said that Merlin's biggest competition is screens. It's people staying at home and watching screens, which I think as a group of enthusiasts, we probably took a collective sharp intake of breath. What? There's a lot of things that I would have thought she'd come out and say were her biggest competition.
Yeah.
Screens weren't top of my list.
No. And not on mine either. You know, it's one of those things where you could sit for a day and think of so many different things, and screens would never pop up. I mean, obviously she's got like a million monkeys typing on typewriters excuses for why they're failing so miserably. And the monkey just types screens and they're like, yeah, that'll do. That'll do. Sounds ish plausible, maybe. Yeah.
Well, this is the weird thing. So we're in 2025 now. I've worked in the radio industry for a long time, and there was a song out in the 70s about video killing radio, basically, and how no one was going to listen to the radio anymore because everyone was going to watch TV. Now, obviously, that didn't come true, and radio is still very much alive and kicking. And I just find it quite a bizarre thing in 2025 to say a themed attraction, what should be a world-leading group of themed attractions, thinks they can't compete with little screens in our homes.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm trying to make sure you don't have to re-edit this and put in bleeps and stuff like that. But when I heard that, I just thought it was the most insane thing I've ever heard. And I think therein lies the problem. They're not willing to look at themselves and see what's actually going on. And that is their biggest issue. It's like everything else is the problem, but they are the problem. And if they could see that and fix that, they wouldn't have this issue.
Absolutely. And look, I know we're all glued to our screens. Like, I spend far too much time on my phone. I'm sure you do as well. We are whores of the internet.
Terminally online.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a completely different thing to going for a day out, right? I don't wake up in the morning and think, do I sit and doom scroll TikTok or do I go to Alton Towers today? It's not a comparison.
No, exactly. It's really not. And I think that is the most infuriating thing about it. Theme parks are meant to be an escape from the real world, and that's what they've always offered, and that's what they should always offer. But so yeah, screens aren't the problem.
They've been around, they're going to be around, and actually if they are their biggest competition, then like good luck, because screens aren't going anywhere. We're only going to get more and more reliant on them, and if that's the case, then what are you going to do to up your game? But
I'll tell you what, they do have an issue. No, actually, I'm going to wind myself back, because I'm going to say that screens are an issue for them, and that's mostly because people are on the internet complaining about how terrible they are, and then other people are seeing it and then obviously going, well, it looks like it's terrible at Chessington this year, I'm not going to Chessington. Oh my goodness, Alton Towers can't keep its major roller coasters open, probably won't go there this year. So yeah, screens are a problem for them, but just not in the way that they're saying.
You make a good point there, actually. I mean, we have both made videos about things that have gone wrong at Merlin, and we've also made positive ones as well. I just want to say we're not one-sided here.
I'm trying to think.
In the past.
Yes, definitely.
Not in 2025. No, I've made positive ones about 2025. I had a great time at the Alton Towers Hotel.
I really bigged them up for the Tomb Blaster tour. That was incredible.
Yes,
really
did.
Good experience. But some of the people who did that tour have now left because they don't want to work for Merlin anymore. So what can I say?
Yeah, and this is the problem. So if screens are not the problem, which I think we can collectively say they're not, because they've been around a long time, it's not a direct competition for a day out. It shouldn't be. If it is, you're in trouble. Then let's have a look at what we, the group of enthusiasts, actually think is the problem. I feel like I need a drum roll at this point. First of all, let's just look at some headline figures. So this all kind of came about because TEA, which is the Themed Entertainment Association, released their visitor figures for 2024. So that's important to remember. These are not this year, these are last year's. And the figures came out and they showed that some of the Merlin attractions hadn't had a great year. Alton Towers, unbelievably, were up 12% in 2024. Yeah. Obviously, they opened Nemesis Reborn.
It was the Alton Towers content creator program, I reckon.
That wasn't there in 24.
Wasn't it?
Oh, it was the back end, wasn't it? The Hex. Yeah. Wasn't the Hex the first thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
As all us guys.
Bigging it up, that last October push. So that was up. Thorpe was down 8%. But globally, themed attractions, theme parks were up 2.4%. So if screens are an issue, why are they not an issue across the board? That is the question, because you would have thought that would be a global problem, but apparently not. Actually, people are visiting theme parks more, which is great. And that's what we want. So these figures came out and Fiona said, well, basically our biggest competition is screens. What would you say? I feel like I'm opening a can of worms here. I'm going to stand well back. What, in your opinion, the number one reason why Merlin theme parks in particular might...
I can't think of one single reason. It is like, it's like a whole wave of reasons. And I think that is the problem. I mean, I think maybe, because I would say like poor value for money, but when you look at things like the Merlin annual passes, although they've had a few changes and shifties around, generally they are quite good value for money.
Yeah.
But you've got to think about the people who don't have those passes, don't get 20% discount, don't get reduced car parking or free car parking. And then that is a big problem. The more casual visitor who has to pay a lot more for tickets and a lot more for everything else, I think that is probably the biggest problem, especially to non-enthusiasts, actually, because most enthusiasts like will have a pass of some description, except you, weirdly. But.
Yeah. I just like to pay through the nose. I mean, what can I say?
I like being bent over, but that is no.
Well, that's a very different podcast. Moving swiftly on. No, there's a reason I didn't have a pass is because I didn't think I was going to be here for as much of the year as I actually was. Had I known, I probably would have. I definitely spent more at Merlin this year than I would have done had I bought a pass.
I think so. But I think from a sort of general public point of view, it is a issue with value for money. And judging from the enthusiasts who've got in touch with me and sort of people who go regularly, it does seem to be ride reliability is a big issue, which all the Merlin parks have had issues with this year. So, yeah, I think it's different. It's different issues for different kinds of people.
I think the value for money one is a big one, and we touched on it. People seeing reviews online, it will impact you. If you're thinking, I might go to a theme park, and you see a load of videos of people who've had terrible days, you are going to think, do I want to drop the best part of 200 quid on that day out? And there will be a proportion of people who go, nah, actually, I've changed my mind. There will be a proportion of people who still go, and they do go and drop the £200. And then that's going to go one of two ways for them. They're either going to go and they're going to have a good day, and then they'll go, that was fine, it was worth it. Unfortunately, I think the more likely scenario over the last couple of years is they go and drop the £200 and they don't have a great day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think also because we are a bit more connected as a society now, and people don't necessarily Google things and they will just search for stuff on TikTok, it's very easy to find videos on TikTok of people having a terrible time in UK theme parks. So, and that's only going to get worse as sort of the generation who started doing that grows up. They will find their information and details on things, not necessarily by going to TripAdvisor, just by seeing videos of people standing in long queues or being evacuated from a queue line because the ride's broken down and things like that. And it's, you get a very visual feeling of, well, that's what my day out is going to be like. And it doesn't do them any favors. So again, maybe screens are their enemies, but just not for the reasons they're saying.
Yeah. And it suddenly becomes like, it doesn't look fun. I think, you know, a day out at a theme park, we only ever want to go and have fun. Whether you're an enthusiast or not, no one's going to a theme park because they want to have a miserable time. You're going, like you say, for that escapism. And if you think your day is just going to be a load of queues and a load of people extracting money from you, it suddenly doesn't sound fun anymore. So maybe you do make that decision not to go. But I like to keep the faith that people still go and give them a try. And I think for me, their biggest problem is getting them to be repeat guests, because I just think too many people have gone and thought that wasn't worth it. I'm not doing that again. And that makes me really sad, because we're people who love theme parks and we will go over and over and over again. And we know you get good days and bad days. And when you go a lot, you see both. But if you've only seen the bad day, that is your lasting impression of that place. And you could say, well, it's impossible for it to be perfect all the time. And it is impossible for it to be perfect. Yeah. But then you look at a park like Europa Park and you go, why doesn't that park have bad days, really? Like, you don't see people online complaining about massive queues and complaining about ride breakdowns and feeling ripped off, even though the tickets are a lot more expensive to go there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the part of the issue. If you're wanting to charge a premium for something, you've got to give people a premium experience. And it also goes back like to the dreadful Aramark food that they're selling everywhere. Like, it just, the prices for it are so high. And I think so many people wouldn't care about that because they'd be like, well, I'm having a day out, this is going to be a fun day for the family. And then you're just handed whatever that is that they serve, and you just think, well, no, I'm not paying that. And then that kind of diminishes the fun, because I've always had this kind of little rule in my head. And when I grew up, when we went to theme parks, we could only just afford to go, and we would go and we'd always take a packed lunch and a cooler box full of things, and we'd have to sort of find somewhere to sit that was, you know, wasn't in a restaurant that wouldn't let you sit in there and eat your packed lunch. And it always made me feel just like a little bit bleak sometimes. And I kind of had this thing in my head like, well, when I'm older, I want to make sure if I'm going to a theme park, I can afford to not take a packed lunch with me and sit there feeling like this. And I want to offer that to my children as well. And but it's getting to the point where it is just utterly ridiculous, like the amount the food costs. And again, if you're not a pass holder, you're not getting that 20% discount. And so it really does feel like you're spending a lot of money for subpar stuff. So you're like, well, why should I have to do this? Why should I have to prepare a lunch when I've got to get up early to drive to a theme park? I don't want to. Why should I? And it's just like that. I mean, when I went to Tivoli last year, it wasn't that the food was particularly cheap, but it was lovely. It was really nice, and I didn't mind paying a bit extra. And like when I went to Poulton's earlier in the year, the food wasn't cheap, but it was fantastic. And I'm a vegetarian, and there was some great vegetarian selections. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't care. But when you're just sort of ripped off continuously, it just makes you sad and depressed and takes away from the fun of the day.
I think as well, when if you've then paid for this expensive food, you've had it, and you're like, that's not great. Again, it's just adding to your feeling of this day isn't going well. And you probably even view it as worse than it is because you're already not having a great time. So then when you get handed some flaccid burger that you've paid £22 for, which is one of the current prices for a burger meal at Alton Towers, it's just going to add to you going, no, this isn't for me anymore. And I think that's really sad. And we've touched on some European parks. Well, I touched on Europa Park being a good day out. And again, the food they have there is nothing special or mind-blowing, but they do have higher end restaurants if you want to go and have a sit down. Or there's a fantastic place where we went where you could get like curries and different types of curries and like proper like street food style Indian food, which you just don't see here. I don't know why we're so narrow-minded. I don't know why Merlin is so narrow-minded. And if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, I was chatting to Craig Seedhouse from Gulliver's, who used to run the food and beverage at Alton Towers. And his thing was he wanted to see more themed food, and they haven't cottoned onto that. He was there before the Aramark time, but he really wanted to make it value for money and bring in themed options, and he did the roller coaster restaurant and stuff like that. But we're now just at this point where it's just basic and expensive, and yet you're already not having a good time. Another guest who we've previously spoken to, of course, is Francis Jackson, the ex operations manager and general manager of Alton Towers. And he went to some detail explaining to us why we see ride breakdowns and maintenance issues, which makes perfect sense if you haven't listened to it. The only thing I can say is go back and listen to it, because he explains it far better than we ever will. But what he was basically saying was it comes down to spending money, and if you don't spend the money on the maintenance and the maintenance staff and the programs and the I can't remember the term he used, basically our critical spares, I think was his term. If you don't have them, you are going to have these issues of breakdowns and long-term downtime. And
Yeah,
that's another
exactly.
thing that we see at Merlin Parks.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just doesn't ever seem to get any better. I mean, like Rita at Alton Towers, that was closed for so much of the season. You know, it had a few sort of pockets of days where it picked up. And even like the Sky Ride as well, after boasting about the millions they've spent on that, it still was so unreliable. And
Yeah, and it's not. I'm not just pointing the finger at Towers. Thorpe have had issues as well with Stealth. They've had issues with their flat rides this year, just not being available. You really need those flat rides at Thorpe to soak up the queues. And like, what's going on at Chessington? What
Oh
is going
man.
on with the vampire?
I mean, I did make a little short about this, but there isn't anything wrong with the vampire. There's a lot of things wrong with the vampire. And the sort of the headline one that seems to be like getting a lot of attention is it's sinking. Now, I don't know. I don't think it's sinking, but I've been told like the chain on Lift Hill 2 is broken. The brakes need replacing as you come into the station. There's oil leaks in the station, and there's an issue with some of the supports, apparently.
I just, how have we got to this point where a few months ago on this very podcast,
I
we were
know.
chatting to John Wardley celebrating the vampire and all its history and how it's still standing and how it's such a fantastic ride still. And literally months later, there's potentially all of these things wrong with it. I just, it boggles my mind.
Yeah, and I think that's the frustrating thing. And also, it does sort of create a bit of a confusing sort of situation for everyone, because they spent so much time and effort bigging it up for its big anniversary. And then, like, the last month or so of, like, the season, it's just stopped because it seems that they haven't been having this critical spares ready to go just in case. But I mean, obviously, if there are support issues, which, again, we'll hasten to add, are only rumours at this time. But, you know, you can't obviously account for that, for example. But, you know, lift heel chain and brakes and things, I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't ever have a lift heel chain sitting there. But you'd think they might have some brakes knocking around, maybe. I don't know.
It's a really, really weird situation. And I think as a guest, whether you're a pass holder or not, when you think, hang on, I'm going to go to this theme park where I know they've got these particular roller coasters, but you start to consider whether they're going to be open on any given day in the season. Like, you shouldn't have to be thinking like that. You shouldn't have to think, is a major roller coaster at these theme parks going to be closed again? Because I keep seeing it's open and keep seeing it's closed. We're constantly told we have this winter season in the UK so that rides can be maintained over the winter and then they're good to go for the season. We're not seeing that at the Merlin parks. We're not seeing consistency of availability, even despite that winter maintenance period. And I think that's not just us as enthusiasts. Like, if Merlin think that the general public don't hear about this stuff and don't notice it, then they've got their heads in the sand, because, like you say, it's a small world. TikTok's available to everyone, Instagram, Facebook, people talk, TripAdvisor. And let's not forget, I hate this phrase, but we are in a cost of living crisis and people are thinking about where they spend their money.
Yeah.
And it's not, am I going to spend it on this theme park or am I going to watch my screen? It's, am I going to spend it on this theme park or am I going to spend it somewhere else? Because I do have money to spend, but I don't necessarily want to set light to it and throw it on a bonfire.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think also, because of things like TikTok and watching theme park content creators, you get a sense now of how relatively easy it is to go to a European park. Because obviously when I was younger, the idea of going to a theme park in Europe just seemed like a real flight of fancy. And, you know, oh my goodness, why would you do that? We've got such wonderful places here. But now you're looking at it going, actually, it's not actually going to cost me all that bit more, and I'm going to get a bit more of a holiday out of it than traipsing down to Stoke. You know, it's just like,
you make it sound so appealing. I mean, I think it's technically it's the Staffordshire Moorlands, but
in the general Stokey direction, it's all up there somewhere for me.
No, but yeah, again, it's fair. I mean, I've spent a lot of time at European parks this year, more so than UK parks. And that's because I've really enjoyed it. I have not had one bad experience at a European park this year. Now, maybe I've been incredibly lucky, but I've been to Efteling, Toverland, Plopsaland twice, Europa Park, and at none of those parks did I have a bad experience on any of the days.
Yeah.
I went to Efteling a few weeks ago and one side of Max and Moritz was down. They were obviously doing some maintenance on it, but the other side was running all day and the queue never got too big for it. It was like 30 minutes maximum. It was running and they were doing a load of work on Baron, so Baron's shut, but that's all really clearly advertised online that it's going to be closed. And Efteling's open 365, let's remember. So they've got to do these things at some point.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have the closed season. And I don't know if I've heard this right, but I'm sure I saw someone mention that Merlin were outsourcing maintenance now. Have you heard that?
Yes, I did see someone talking about that. And I think it was actually an ex engineer or an engineer saying that that might make things better, which I'm not sure at what point outsourcing in Merlin Parks has actually made anything better so far. But I'm not going to pass judgment until I see for myself, because I don't know anything about engineering, and maybe it does work a lot better if you get an external team. But I don't know. I would have thought having that knowledge and skill in house is a lot better.
Yeah, and I mean, like when I went to Tivoli, I was a bit gutted because when I got there, the Demon B&M roller coaster was shut, and there was lots of work going on around it. And like my sort of Merlin conditioned brain was like, oh, well, I won't get to ride it this trip. But what I didn't actually realize was they were doing maintenance for a bit of the day and doing building work around it. But later on in the day, it was going to open and it was going to be fine. So even then, sort of them doing work and construction, it didn't ruin the day or stop a ride from operating. It just paused it for operating for a few hours. And I think we need more stuff like that happening. And even I think maybe a little bit more transparency, because if you I don't expect them to tell us that Vampire is sinking, but they could at least say, they could have at least said, we're closing Vampire for X amount of time because, you know, we want to keep this iconic classic ride alive. And people be like, okay, great, that sounds like a brilliant idea. But just this sort of cloak and dagger, sly stuff. It's like what happened when Hyperia opened and had all the sort of issues. It was all very sort of hush hush, and you know, they didn't want to say anything and they just kind of closed it. I think sometimes, especially with the sort of way our society is so connected and needs information all the time, I think Merlin need to do a little bit more of that and just say, yeah, it's closed because we're doing this, we're doing that, we want it to live for longer. A bit like they did with the Sky Ride, to be fair.
Yeah,
you know, they did the right thing there, and Hex as well eventually, but they didn't do it straight away. They just kind of sat on it for a bit, let everyone lose their minds, and then went, oh, actually, this is what we're happening. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they're not more upfront about it. I think they think, oh, this is going to be really negative. But you can always turn a negative into a positive if you frame it in the right way.
Yeah.
And what's more negative is people going to Chessington expecting to ride the Vampire and finding it closed. Because guess what? Enthusiasts aren't going online necessarily and checking for ride closures in some small print of a section of the website. They're just not doing that.
No.
So the only time they've heard about it is if someone's made a video about it. And it's very like front and center. It does seem a strategy they've taken to kind of be quite close about this stuff at the moment. And I guess they've got their reasons, but I don't understand them. You mentioned Hyperia, and it's interesting that Thorpe was one of the parks that was down last year, 8% down on 2023, in the year that Hyperia opened.
Yeah, well, I think that was largely because of the vast amount of issues they had getting it and keeping it open. And I think there, you could see in people's comments, like they'd specifically gone to Thorpe Park to ride Hyperia, and it wasn't open. And several people I know went like multiple times and just always seemed to hit those days where it wasn't operating. And so you can't just carry on going, oh, well, I hope it's going to be open this time, and then it not be. So people will give up. And people will hear about that as well. They'll see people saying, we travelled all the way down the country to go on the tallest and fastest ride in the UK, but it wasn't open. And again, it doesn't actually help people's confidence in the rides either. You know, you get then other people jumping in going, oh, it's another smiler waiting to happen. It's like, it's not. But I can understand why you feel like that, because it doesn't look good. The optics are terrible.
One of the things that Fiona mentioned in her interview was how Halloween is a massive thing for them. It's really driving a load of revenue for them, which you see at Thorpe. And actually, I think, I know this is this year and we're talking about figures for last year, but the scare events at definitely Towers and Thorpe have been mentally successful this year.
Yeah.
They've been so, I mean, I say successful in terms of number of people.
Yes.
I don't, guest experience, I don't know. I haven't, difficult to judge, because some people go and have a fantastic time. Some people are just like, what? It's just way too busy to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
But they are drawing the crowds in for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I saw sort of Thorpe Park's like queue times, like absolutely insane. Like,
yeah,
like 3 hour queue for Hyperia. Just that's mad. And I mean, it kind of makes me think, well, I'd never ever queue 3 hours.
I see that as well.
I'll get a fast track. Go listen to that episode. But again, with that also gives, there is such a variable experience, because I've seen people saying that like the mazes are the best ever, best they've ever been. They've had the best run throughs ever at like both Alton Towers and Thorpe Park. But then also I've seen people really sorely disappointed that they've had a really bad run through the maze. And you, that does seem to be a problem year on year on year. You know, they sort of, they amp it up, for like the, especially at Thorpe Park, everyone's invited down and they can go through the mazes and it looks incredible and the actors are banging. But like, you go a week later and lots of staff have left and people are on breaks and things. It's just not the same experience. And you're sort of, again, doing people out of their hard-earned cash with a subpar experience.
Yeah. And on top of that, the what become the filler attractions, the roller coasters and the rides, have got incredibly long queues. Like you say, the queues that you or I wouldn't wait in for them.
No.
So it's not like, okay, that wasn't great, but we got some great rides in as well. If you're basically just in queues,
yeah,
it ends up not being great. But having said that, it doesn't seem to be dampening people's appetite for it. And one of the big controversial things that Alton Towers did this year was sort of get rid of a lot of their events in Oktoberfest and bring Scarefest forward into September. And I think that's probably paid off for them. We won't know till next year with their figures. But having seen the crowds this year, I think the appetite for the public in the UK for Halloween events is just off the scale.
Yeah. And I think, but I think they need to make sure they keep their eye on the ball with it, because there are just so many Halloween events you can go to now. And yes, you, most of them, or pretty much all of them, you won't be able to go and do a scare maze and go on a world-class roller coaster afterwards. But people, you know, if people are going there and getting a bit of a scare but having to wait 3 hours to go on said world-class roller coaster, they'll probably go, oh, okay, well, I'll go to the place that's a bit closer to me. It's only 20 quid a ticket and it looks like it's fun. And also people like to support small businesses as well that aren't the big conglomerate. So yeah, I think Alton have done very well this year. I think with the Halloween stuff, I think having the sort of entertainment all crammed into the courtyard, that gave me the heebie-jeebies. I'm really glad
it wasn't there. Yeah.
No, and it just kind of, I mean, it looked busy because there's just lots of people crammed into a small space. And yeah, I don't know. But it just goes to show that people do have an appetite for being entertained in theme parks.
Yeah.
And we need that back, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I did put out on Instagram to find out what you, the listeners of podcast, thought was Merlin's problems, competition. Martin said, for me, the European counterparts, I'm not going to a Merlin park with my family, having visited Plopsaland, Toverland, Efteling. It's such a downgrade. And I totally can see that. And if you haven't been to a European park and you're maybe still, you know, you think Merlin is the balls, I would highly urge you to go and visit a European park and just see the difference, because it's very hard to explain how different it makes you feel when you're at a park that is operating as it should.
Yeah. I mean, I asked some of my followers as well. Sean mentioned the unpredictable ride availability, and Mafanwi said that she doesn't feel it offers good value for money. The queues are always massive and the ride availability is poor. And again, that's something you don't get at the European parks, you know, like you said.
Not so. I mean, European parks get busy, don't get me wrong, but not to the extremes that you see at Thorpe and Towers. They just don't get 2.5 hour queues. It's just not a thing.
No.
JS said an M&S meal deal is their biggest competition because of our remark, and I can fully get on board with that.
Exactly.
Because, like you say, you can get a very nice M&S meal deal for a fraction of the cost of a Burger Kitchen meal deal.
Abomination. Meal deal, yeah.
But the basic theme is, like you said at the very start, it's just not seen as value for money. And that is quite a mountain that they have to climb to get us to shift opinions on that. And I talk about us as enthusiasts, but this isn't just about us, and this is not a bunch of enthusiasts going, well, it's not good enough for us, so we're going to whinge about it. The public will be feeling the same way. Like, if you go to a Merlin park and you have a great day, you were, I want to say, lucky. I feel like it's not the norm anymore. It's the exception rather than the rule. And that's not good. And I really, really hope, I say I hope they turn it around, but I don't see how they're suddenly going to wake up next year and go, okay, let's just throw a load of money at these parks.
Yeah, I don't think they will. And like looking at the finances and the credit downgrades and things like that, it does feel like this is just how it's going to be now.
Yeah.
You know, Chessington is going to throw lots of money at the Paw Patrol land. Apparently that's gone over budget already. You know, Minecraft opening in 2027, that's going to have a whole thing thrown at it. And I wouldn't be surprised maybe if there was some sort of, you know, because the Minecraft movie is going to be out at the same time as the area is due to open. So it could even get some stars of Minecraft there. Realistically, they'll probably be doing all the press for Minecraft when it opens. So that could be really, really amazing. But then you just go, okay, well, Gruffalo's looking a bit ropey now. What's going on with the vampire? And, you know, it's all like, look at this shiny new stuff.
Look at the monkey. Yeah.
And like everything else behind is just on fire. Don't look at the fire. We've got Paw Patrol now. We've got Minecraft coming. And yeah, I think that is a sort of massive problem, but I don't think it's going to improve.
No.
And I'm sad about that. I'm really sad.
There is a lot of chatter on both sides about whether Merlin might dispose of a park, the most likely being Alton Towers, because it's the one that kind of sticks out and doesn't fit neatly into the little southeast box that they've got.
Yeah.
What's your thought? Obviously, this is just personal opinion. What's your thoughts on whether that might happen and what if it did?
I think if it does happen, I think it would probably be the absolute best thing for Alton Towers in many, many years, because it is very much an outlier in their sort of their setup, and it's such a different park and it's such a different beast to all the other parks. You know, just even getting around the park is just mental, and you know, just the scale of it, and then the fact that you've got like the actual towers there that have got to be looked after and maintained. And yeah, I think realistically it would be amazing for them to go to someone else and a different company and someone who could maybe just really go for it and sort of invest the kind of money that Alton Towers saw in the mid 90s with sort of Nemesis and the Haunted House and all that stuff, and just kind of really go absolutely nuts with it, because I think the public will lap it up, especially with Universal coming, because that is very exciting. But Alton Towers has got that factor of nostalgia, and people have grown up with it and want to go there and have such fond memories, and people do still want to go there, but with it that they have that over Universal, because a lot of people in the UK won't have experienced a Universal park. I haven't experienced a Universal park. So, you know, their sort of frame of reference is just Alton Towers and the good times they've had there. So yeah, it would be amazing if they did offload Alton Towers to someone who could really look after it. But then ultimately business is business and places want to make money. So is someone new going to be any better? I'd love it to be, but I don't know if it will be the case.
It's so hard, isn't it? Like you say, we've talked about these European parks, which are doing things seemingly differently and making money and being successful at it. And you're just like, oh, why can't we just have a bit of that here? Or from what I've heard, Alton Towers is still making money. So maybe they also just think, well, like, fine, you enthusiasts have a whinge about it and don't like it, but ultimately we're still turning a profit. So why do we need to be any better? And that's a sad thing for us to hear, for a park that we love. But from a business point of view, I guess it makes sense. I mean, I think it's quite a short-term strategy. At some point, that is going to stop working. At some point, people are going to go, yeah, no more. It's gone too far.
Yeah, definitely.
What one thing would you say to Merlin for 2026, if you could just concentrate on this one thing, just get this one thing right?
I'd say Aramark out.
Yeah.
I'd go like full football fan and like, you know, ex-name manager out. I would just say Aramark out. And I think that would be a popular thing for both theme park enthusiasts and also the general public. If you can get someone in there who doesn't matter if they have like the food the same price, if they just up that quality a few steps, it'd be absolutely fine. And I think that's it. They need to get Aramark out now. And I was only given one thing, so I can't take it.
you can say another. I'll let you.
Yeah. Get the in-house entertainment back. But I think realistically, from a sort of an immediate uplift in guest experience, sort out the food.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to do, really. Really. And, you know, maintenance and stuff. Yes, obviously. But that is a sort of big, everyone has to eat when they're at the theme park. Mm-hmm. Not everyone will go on all the big rides. Not everyone will go on the small rides. But pretty much everyone will need to fill their face at some point.
Yeah.
And you've got to give them the best possible experience at a reasonable cost.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would make a huge difference. I would like to see consistency of operations. I would just love to go and just know that stuff is going to be working. And I know I'm asking for the impossible, but other places manage it. Yeah. It feels like a huge ask from Merlin Park. I don't know why. I've like conditioned myself.
We're
going to get all the roller coasters running at the same time.
Don't be silly.
Have an outrageous suggestion. I would love to just know that I'm going for a day and that stuff's going to work. Because I'm going to Europa Park in a few weeks' time, and I'm not concerned. I have no concerns going to that park. I went to Alton Towers for Scarefest. I was like, oh, what's going to be down though? And what's going to, like, that's the mindset I'm going in with.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, I imagine sort of people who are planning a trip to a Merlin park will be like looking at the queue time apps before they go and going, oh, it's quite busy at the moment. Oh, that ride's been down for several days. I mean, you can't do that with Alton Towers because whatever reason they've got in their stupid tiny minds. But yeah, people do that. But you don't get that in the European parks. You just go, oh, well, I'm going. It's going to be great. Yeah. Stuff will be open. That's fine.
You don't have to second guess yourself or start stressing yourself out. It's like when you're going on holiday and you keep checking the weather app to make sure it's going to be sunny. But instead you're like, oh God, what rides are going to be shut this time? unnecessary stress. You haven't been to Alton Towers for the whole of 2025.
No.
You made a commitment at the start of the season that you were so annoyed by some of the decisions that they'd made that you weren't going to go.
Yeah.
What about 2026?
It's not looking good. It's not looking good, Bex. It's really not. It's one of those things that actually, as pathetic as it sounds, it when I wake up in the morning, I do ponder on it so many times, thinking, I wish I was going to Alton Towers today. And my little strange autistic brain won't let me go. And I don't think it's, I mean, I kind of do want to go, but equally there's nothing's coming in 2026 apart from
Bluey.
Yeah, but you know, I always feel a bit weird being an adult in CBeebies
really?
Land.
Why does that make you feel weird? Listen, there's going to be a whole raft of childless enthusiasts on that opening day filling up that queue.
Just gives me the egg back. I hate it. It really does. I don't like it. I really don't. And also, you know, I've got my youngest child is 13. He's not going to want to go on Bluey. So, you know, I don't even have a sort of legitimate reason to be in there. That is probably one of my biggest theme park icks.
Like adults on
kids rides without kids. But I mean, I get it, a cred's a cred, etc. But yeah.
Well, if it's any consolation, I have a 4-year-old who's very into Bluey. She's told me she's going on her own. She doesn't want me to sit next to her. I was like, oh, fine. So my excuse is also gone. We'll see what the height limit is. I might have to break it to her that she can't actually ride it on her own. Well, okay, so maybe not for next year, but you did go to Thorpe this year.
I did go to Chessington. I did go to Chessington. I'm going to Poulton's for the opening of the new land, which I'm excited about. We haven't even chucked in that Poulton's is a very viable alternative to the Merlin parks.
Well, and this is the thing, you were talking about screens being competition. Why is it not a problem at Poulton's? Why are people still going? And this is a part that's grown through word of mouth of people going, actually, we had a really good time there.
I mean, several people who I know have been to Poulton's have like said, their Halloween stuff just, yeah, it just blows away place like Alton Towers for like the theming and the decor and just the general experience. You can go on late night rides and you don't have to queue for hours. Now, lots of people do say to me when I sort of big up Poulton's going, oh, well, it's more expensive because they don't do the 2-for-1 offers and things like that. But again, it's going back to value for money for your day. They don't do those kind of promotions because they're a small company at the end of the day. But you go there, you don't need a fast track to have a good time. You can join the queues will move quickly, the rides will be open. Great day, great food,
Don't pay for
everything.
parking.
Yeah, don't pay for parking and no further notes. That's it. That is the Poulton's experience.
And I will always say I'd rather pay more for a better experience than like try and cheap out on it and actually just have a terrible time. Like Europa Park tickets are 50, £60 a day. Worth it. Worth it all day long. Obviously, huge park. So many more attractions than you'll get at any park in the UK. But it's worth it, and people will pay it. Make it good, and the people will come. And I just think that that's the little bit that's missing at the Merlin Parks for me at the moment, the experience. And not that I want to feel the wrath of the Chessington fans who I know listen, but like Chessington
Oh, they're
this
going to be
year.
so mad about this episode.
Chessington this year has been a sorry place, and that's a part that I haven't been to this year, and I said I'm not going this year, and I haven't been, but I've seen enough video footage to know that I have not missed a lot. And the vampire situation is just the cherry on top for
And
there.
the tigers going from Tiger Rock.
Oh yeah, like what? But it's okay because it's got to get worse to get better. That's what I keep being told. Really? Really? This is how bad it has to get so that we can have a semi-decent experience. I'm sorry.
That's the sort of advice you give to someone who's having a mental crisis, isn't it? You've got to be in the gutter to look up at the stars, and that's not how you
Like a
talk about
Pitbull
food.
quote.
Yeah, picture that with a Kodak, and like. But you're not meant to use that with theme parks. You're not meant to sort of go, well, it'll be all right next year. Oh, great. Okay, cool. Well, I'll just avoid this year. Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard. And like you said earlier, I don't want people to ever think that we hate these places and that we're just moaning for the sake of moaning because we're really not. I would love to just be on here saying what a wonderful time I've had at Alton Towers and how great my trip to Chessington was and how amazing things are at Thorpe Park. But I can't.
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. And I hope one day, one sunny day, maybe in the future, we can do all of that. But for now, we just deal with the slop that we're given. And we're grateful for it.
In the words of a mother on Facebook, rant over.
Yeah, should have ended it with that. Smacked my microphone out of the way.
End of hashtag fact. Okay. Well, that is our rant over for today. Look, we haven't got the answers. I mean, well, we have got the answers. Spend some money, make it better. I know that that's not a simple solution, and there are many complications in the world of business that prevent that from happening. But it doesn't mean that we can't get frustrated, and it doesn't mean we can't get especially frustrated when we see the CEO of the organization coming out and making the most ridiculous excuse for attendance at their theme parks, like without saying, like you said at the start, just taking some ownership and going, we've got some stuff wrong and we are fixing it and we're making things better. I think if she'd come out and said that, we'd all be like, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, blaming video is not the one. Let us know if you've got any further thoughts on this. As always, DMs are always open. Both our DMs, and you can comment on YouTube if you're listening to it there, or Spotify, wherever you are. You can leave a little comment, it's fine. If you haven't already, subscribe. We have got lots more episodes still to come. The theme park season may be ending, but we are not. We are carrying on right up until Christmas. So just make sure you hit that subscribe button and you won't miss your regular piece of theme park chat. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.